Good. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We are going to get started with the City of South Jordan City Council study meeting on this Tuesday, May 6th, 2025. My name is Dawn Ramsey. I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the City of South Jordan with this outstanding city council seated up here with me and our administrative staff here with us, quite a few of them. We also have guests. We have people joining us. We have presenters. And we have people joining us online. So we welcome all of you and anyone who will be viewing this later. We're going to open tonight. We are not going to open with an invocation by Councilmember Shelton because we've excused him to be just a few minutes late. Would you do it?
Yeah.
Thank you. We're going to ask Mr. Harris to do it.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have the opportunity to gather together in this work session. We're thankful for the city staff and all the efforts they've gone to put this meeting together. We're thankful for this council, the mayor, and everyone who works in behalf of this city. Please bless us that we'll be able to receive the inspiration that we need to be able to make the best decisions on behalf of our city. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, mayor and council coordination. Does anybody have anything you'd like to coordinate?
Some point in time, just an update on the parade and all the other stuff that we want to talk about.
Summerfest
and just, you know, whatever the time's appropriate for that.
Yeah, we'll send out some emails to get you all the details. We do have one more council meeting ahead of that meeting,
okay.
So we'll get all the final stuff. The events start that week of June 2nd. We'll have the float preview on the 3rd. Unfortunately, this year it conflicts with a city council meeting. We'll have the other events that we've typically had leading up to that. The 7th of June will be the day of the parade. Just as in previous years, we'll have breakfast for you at the fire station. We'll pick you up in the trucks, get you to the parade start, same route as we've had previously. You'll see invites coming for the chalk art judging and those types of things. So we'll fill your calendars, we'll send you some updates, and give you all the last minute details on June 3rd.
Perfect.
So,
okay.
Did you say it starts Tuesday?
Tuesday is the first event that week, and it's the parade float preview that's out on the west side of South Jordan.
Except we
have you'll all be here in council.
So we'll be here. Do we get
I
know, because we love to go to the
I
love
loved
the
it. Yeah.
I just didn't feel like we could only go one council meeting in April, May, June, July.
No, we could hold it in the pavilion or station.
That
would be fun.
Very open meeting.
They've got some really good things.
You know, I mean, if it's not good, we can.
And remember, we've moved the core of the activities to the west side of New City Park in the bigger filled area so that we can expand and have the carnival and all that stuff with a lot more space, give our guys more room to have more things and more fun and more safety. And so we're looking forward to it this year.
Yeah. Thank you. No, good question. Okay, our regular council meeting, we're going to run through this. And if there's anything you want to stop and talk about now, we are going to go through all of this. But it's a full meeting. The Utah Black Diamonds land use public hearing items will be here. You know, that's the professional pickleball people. So they're going to be here tonight for some public hearings and decisions by the council on the land use for that project. The drinking water systems master plan, we have a public hearing on that.
Did anyone else have trouble accessing?
I couldn't get in. Okay.
Hannah helped me.
Get in, so.
Okay. Yeah.
So everybody had some challenges getting in. You got in.
I could not get in. I called Melanie yesterday.
Yes.
And it's not the end. So.
Okay. I apologize that we didn't get you.
I got in, but reading it on my phone was a challenge.
Oh, that would be a challenge.
I'm not sure how much of it I was able to successfully digest.
500-page packet this week. I'm sorry.
Right. No.
I do have a question on that though. Why is there a public hearing when it's a closed document though?
That's
great,
a good question. And
I mean, it could
step
okay, it could just be state law requires,
so,
but it just seems
there
frustrating
are some,
to have.
There are some parts of the information in that document that are safety sensitive,
yes,
that we do not want to just have the world have access to.
I
so
understand.
That's why that's protected.
We're talking about the water.
But yeah, I think the discussion of adopting it can be had. You're not going to divulge any of the secrets of the water system.
Yeah, just though to have the public hearing, they can't really comment on something they haven't had a chance to read or go through. That's so I was just wondering why it's listed under
it's
public hearing.
Because of the sensitive safety elements that are in there.
Well, I understand why it's locked.
Yeah, because now you've
now I'm just understanding why they're.
That's a good
if
question.
Have a hearing on something,
and I will defer to City Attorney Luce for the legal explanation.
Well, I'm curious when Mr. Garrison presents, right?
I guess he will have a presentation.
Okay, so again, I got into the document, but I didn't read all pages. Will it be shared with us? Here are the changes, or here's the improvements, or is that confidential as well?
I was just going to give a quick highlight of some of the things in the master plan, not any really specifics.
Totally fine. But just high level, like here's what we've done to improve our master plan.
Right, and what a master plan does and what we've looked at. And and then, you know, Anna, like it sounds like you had trouble looking the link, but that was the purpose, so you could look in on there and look at the master plan. And I don't know, we've done all our master plans by public hearing, so I don't know.
Yeah.
We're probably erring on the side of caution on that by doing that way. So.
Okay, good question. Okay, we have a resolution before us to appoint a member to the Bingham Creek Regional Park Authority. We met with that candidate, and that person has now been vetted, and we were positive in our forwarding that name on to the council for the county council for consideration as well. So that's before us tonight to make that appointment.
Can I ask a clarifying question? So do we, if we all approve that tonight, then does it go to the council of the county after us? Or have they already said yes?
Yeah,
is this like a tier?
Process as well.
Their meetings today too.
I thought that they ran parallel.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we could say yes, they could say no?
Yes.
In theory, yes, but also this person would not be on the agenda if the county council had said no after their interview. If they said, we don't want this person, don't forward this on for a vote, then she wouldn't be there.
Okay.
Same thing if we had said that. So, yeah.
Okay.
So that's tonight. And then we have a resolution before us, and we'll have a presentation on our tentative budget for the fiscal year 25-26 budget. I mean, tonight, man.
I know. Some heavy hitters.
We're making up for it.
Yeah. So that's our agenda for our regular council meeting. Because it is so robust and because we think there's got to be something else on there. Did I miss the municipal code? Yes.
The fence.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, well. There was something else.
Because we anticipate there will probably be... there's potential. We don't know for sure. We never know for sure, but we think there's potential for quite a few folks coming to speak during either public comment or public hearings. And there's a lot of those tonight, a lot of different things on here. I'm going to propose that no matter how full it is, that we either skip our mayor and count our reports or we move them to the end. Just for the sake of getting people who are on the agenda through it.
I would agree.
Because it's such a full agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think
I
it's going to be a long meeting. I think,
I think it is too. I think we just
save
press
it for
forward
time.
And okay.
So do we need to amend the agenda then?
At the start of the meeting, yeah. We'll just ask for this.
Whoever approves
skip
it.
Skip that, yeah. Yeah. For the sake of time. Just for the sake of time.
Let's just scratch it.
I think that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, if there's no other questions on our regular agenda, we'll move on to our presentation items. We have Ray Garrison here, our Director of Public Works, to talk to us about the storm water rate study. Fred Philpott is here as well. Welcome, Fred. We appreciate you being here. I almost feel like Fred should have a badge so he can just get himself in the building.
I was
going to
say, I don't
here.
Think
thanks
he
thanks for
needs
being such a partner with us.
Security.
We appreciate you. Yeah.
That would just impress my kids, you know. I could come home with some sort of FDA badge. Even if it's fake, that would just be really awesome. So.
They gave you what?
Yeah.
That would help because the last time I brought one of my sons to work, this has been several years ago, I brought him actually to a meeting in South Jordan. And he left that meeting saying, Dad, I didn't realize how boring your job is. I had a headache. And I had to take him back to my office and get him a Coke and some pizza for him to turn the day around. So
to feel like his dad wasn't a just,
yes,
what? Yeah, that's funny.
Next time we'll spice it up when you're here.
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. Give us some warning.
Yeah. Bring it again.
We don't want spicy without warning. Yeah.
Thank you
very much.
What's that?
Well, this is a printed copy
Where were you yesterday and this morning?
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, take it away, please.
Yeah, well, Mayor and Council, thank you. Like I was going to say, I don't think the gentleman next to me needs any introduction for everybody here, but we do have Fred Philpott. The last rate study we did for stormwater was done in 2021, so we're reaching that five-year mark where we need to update that analysis. And so over the last few months, we've been working with Fred and his team to update that. So Fred is here to share those results, and we can talk about those at the end and if you have any questions. So.
Thank you. And this is the same format that we've talked about for other utility rate review. We're looking at our objectives, reviewing the model and our methodology. We'll show you some of the assumptions we utilized and then go through the scenario analysis. For storm, it's pretty straightforward since we have typically in most entities, there's a set fee per ERU or ESU, some equivalent residential unit. We're not evaluating demand or different tier structures or anything like that, so it's much more straightforward. But the policies are still the same. We're looking for financial sustainability. We look to ensure that this enterprise fund can sustain itself. We're not being receiving subsidization from other funds or anything like that. We're able to maintain our debt coverage, and we have sufficient cash reserves. Again, we also look at that five-year window, so the model projects out 5 years and beyond, but we're focused on the next 5 years for rate setting. The policies that we focus on are ensuring that we have a forecast relative to revenue growth and that we've evaluated cost of service, so what are expenses doing, what's happening to debt service, if anything, and our capital improvement needs. We then go through the rate design analysis, and that's what I'll show you at the tail end of this presentation. Our model is based on actuals for 23, estimated figures for 24 in the 2025 budget, and then we make projections through 2030. We've made assumptions relative to growth in the system, your base demand growth. We make assumptions relative to expenditure growth, salaries and benefits, and O&M expenses, and we apply some construction inflation to future projects. In the past, you know, construction inflation has been much higher. We're seeing that drop down sort of. Our model adjusts for that reduction in construction inflation. We are starting with a fund balance of about $1.7 million, so we track that over time. We're looking at also including the public works facility, so including the cost associated with that, at least the storm drain portion of that facility. So that specific capital improvement has been allocated to each of the enterprise funds and the models we've been working on. And then we've also included capital improvement needs within the model. So as we look at scenarios, in this case, we've really just focused on the two primary scenarios, the first being no rate increase, what happens to our performance targets. And then the second scenario, we're looking at an annual increase to maintain those targets or achieve our desired result. So here you can see with the capital improvement needs as well as that public works allocation, so we're allocating that portion to the storm enterprise fund, we do eat up all of our fund balance, and without any additional increases, we drop below that target amount. Our debt coverage, that's really a reflection of the debt service coming on the model. So in this instance, we're actually okay. We have net revenues to cover that debt service or the allocation of that debt service payment to the storm fund. It's really our capital impact that's utilizing all that cash reserve and causing us to drop below our target. So in order to mitigate that, we look at rate increases and saying, okay, how do we soften that decline and ensure that we stay above our target amounts? In this case, that just improves our debt coverage since we didn't have a problem without rate increases. The rate increases actually help with that.
In most cases, storm utilities don't actually cover dedicated debt service. It's usually a combined component or part of a larger transaction, as is the case here with the Public Works facility. So what we're looking at is a 3% increase to those rates over the next several years. So starting at that $9 and some change and then escalating through 2030. So the benefit of that is, you know, we're doing smaller increases over time, which match inflation, and then implementing those over several years rather than doing an upfront increase, which could be an option where you pull all that forward and do that in one single year. We opted to phase that in over time. As a comparison, what that does is here it shows where you would fall relative to some comparative communities. So you wouldn't be the lowest, but you're not the highest. Those rates range, as you can see, Salt Lake City at the high end. Mill Creek is up there in Bluffdale. And then you have Riverton at the low end. A lot of this depends on when entities have updated their storm enterprise funds and if they've truly evaluated sustainability. For example, I'm working with Holiday City on their storm enterprise fund, and we began that process in about 2021, 2022. And our model recommended rate increases that would approximate where you're approaching. But they opted not to do those rate increases. We're now updating that analysis and illustrating that they're kind of behind the eight ball now and have some capital improvements that are putting pressure on their system. And so what we had proposed previously for gradual rate increases, we're now showing that they need to take larger action, right, to mitigate those issues. So while their rate right now, as a community, we show them as having a lower storm rate. Our analysis is showing that they need to take some action, right, to cover their capital improvements. So this chart, while it illustrates where everybody's at, it doesn't illustrate where they're going or where they need to be relative to storm utility rates. But again, South Jordan, you wouldn't be, at least in the short term, you wouldn't be at the exceed those comparables, but you also wouldn't be the lowest there. Alrighty, so that's our recommendation relative to the Storm Enterprise Fund. Any questions on?
Go ahead. Did you mind going backwards?
Yes.
So that bar graph showing us at 9 whatever,
yes.
Is that when we get to our top tier?
No.
That's the first tier.
Yes, so that's looking at that 929. But as you increase those rates, yes, you would get higher than that amount. So you would be approximating Bluffdale. Yes, but that's again assuming they remain
that's
stagnant.
Also 5 years from now, so
yes.
Right, everybody's
yeah.
Going
right.
to have to do what they do. Yeah.
So, I guess in my experience, storm enterprise funds are usually the least evaluated, which creates some challenges for entities as they actually, when they do open that up and realize all the capital infrastructure that needs to be funded, then I've had some entities have to do huge increases to mitigate those changes. So we didn't do a comparison of, you know, any communities outside of Salt Lake County. So this is just looking at some communities within Salt Lake County.
My other question is, when's the last time we did one of these rate increases?
The study was done in 2021, but that recommended a 6% increase every year.
We have had 6% every year since 2021.
Correct.
And now we're suggesting a 3%.
Yes.
On top of the 6?
No.
So the 6 stopped and now we have the option to go
correct.
3.
So we updated this a year
that
prior than when
lot.
We needed
like
to.
Context.
So it was a 5-year. We have 1 year left on the previous rate study.
Okay.
Now we would recommend if council and mayor was okay with it, we would recommend putting 3% in the tentative budget and not the 6.
Is that mostly due to reduction from a 6% increase to a 3%? Is that just, is inflation, the reduction in inflation, is that the main driver?
That would be one of the drivers, as well as the update to the capital improvement plan. And looking at what projects need to be funded, plugging that in the model, and producing that scenario that results in a reduction in rate increases.
And so what we did is we updated our stormwater master plan and really dove into a lot of the projects they recommended and said, do we really need to do these projects? Does it make sense to do these projects? And so now we have a more defined project list that we're finalizing right now that is built into this.
Questions? Anybody else have any questions? No other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, our next presentation. Thank you both. We're going to turn to our CFO, Sunil Naidu, and I think he has some team members here too. So
I think we made it too
away.
Boring on him again.
Yeah, I know. I know, right?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I just give my key and my badge.
Yes. It has
don't
a leather case even. That
I
would be impressive.
Just get an extra one. That's the bad.
I'll loan you mine.
I'm liking where this is going. My kids are going to be impressed.
Yeah. Well, especially when you tell them it's literally the key to the city.
Yes. Also, another little side story. I have a lot of kids, so there's a lot of stories. But we made these little FBI badges as kids that they would run around the house with. And so if I came with something very official, then I could trump all of their FBI.
There you go.
That's awesome. Well, if there's anything we can do to up your, you know, cool factor,
my street cred,
size, bring it back
yes.
And we'll put something really great. Make a funner agenda or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have Natalie come and do something on the agenda, too, and we'll just spice the whole thing up.
Right.
In the meantime, we really are looking forward to this. So
yes.
Let's talk about our development fee study. That is almost as exciting as bedazzled scooters and lights.
Thank you, Mayor. I think so. We have had updated this fee back in 22. Just updated it, but you know, if you remember a couple of years ago, the legislature talking about governmental fees and fee revenues and us charging too much to the developers and all those kind of things. So I thought, and me having to reconcile our development fee at the end of the fiscal year audit and report to them where we came up, revenue versus our expenditures. So I thought, just to be on the safe side, it would be better if we do a full-fledged study, cost analysis, process analysis, and all those.
I actually really appreciate that. Thank you for going in depth with this.
Yeah. And so Brad has been, him and his team has been working on it, and I'll just turn the time over to him to walk through it.
Yeah, so this is something entities are focusing more on, which is evaluating other fees for service and ensuring that there's a rationale behind the calculation of that fee. So that if there's an audit or questions relative to that fee schedule, there's some data to back that up. So we can not only help justify the fee itself, but then also as we get to accounting for those revenues, there's some backing for that. So we've gone through and in compliance with statute, looked at the city's fee schedule. And since we already had a framework with the work we've done in prior years, we took that information and with the help of city staff and LRB staff, we revised those process maps and the fee schedule. Really, the intent is to ensure that there's a nexus between the fee assessment, the service provided, and the revenue generation so that we can connect the dots and help those that are paying the fee understand how that's calculated. So in order to do that, we have a two-prong approach. The first is evaluating all of the costs associated with those involved in the fee, specific fee or department. That includes our base employee costs, department overhead costs, and an allocation of administrative overhead. The second tier of the analysis is the process map or process analysis, and that's where we take and have staff input all of the steps or provide the steps associated with each fee and the tasks associated with that fee. Included in that is an estimation of time spent on each task. We bring those two data sets together, and that's the basis for establishing the fee for each of the fee categories that we evaluate. With that said, in any fee analysis, there is averaging and estimation relative to time allocation and personnel involved, and that's the case here. We look at fee categories in general. We don't calculate a specific fee for each individual application per se. It's an average application of this process so that you can create fee buckets essentially. So that's our process. as we look at those elements, the specifics of those elements, in the cost analysis, our base cost includes employee salaries and benefits. The department overhead cost is the cost included in that personnel's department outside of salaries and benefits, so supplies and travel, training, all of those expenses related to in association with that employee. And then the administrative overhead costs would include those administrative functions that benefit all of the departments, so your administration, finance, IT, HR, risk management, those functions that provide that umbrella coverage to each department. So once we get that kind of outlined, then we apply the assumptions relative to that. So here is an example of the cost analysis relative to our process. So here you can see the different planners, their cost per minute. We allocate a technology fee, department overhead, and that administrative overhead. And the intent is to get a fully weighted cost per minute for each person or personnel involved in the process maps that we receive from city staff. The technology fee we include based on the actual cost of that technology fee. So the City View, I believe is what it's called, process licenses and other elements within the city. So that's the first stage. The second stage, this is an example of the process map. So you can see here the steps are identified, the action item associated with that step, then an estimation of time, and then the personnel involved. So if there are multiple personnel involved, we look at the relationship of those personnel. So is it an or statement or an and statement? If it's an or statement, we average those costs. So if it could be one of several employees, we take an average. If it's all of the employees, meaning there might be a group meeting or a group review, then we multiply that cost or add that up and multiply it by the time associated with each of those individual staff members. That gives us a total time for that that application. In this case, this example is an accessory dwelling unit planning commission review. So we come up with the time and the personnel. We join that data together here, and we get the time associated with each of the staff members. We apply that cost per minute and get a total cost for that that application. So we do that for every fee within the schedule or all those that we receive, and then we come up with an updated fee schedule for each of those categories. So here is the proposed fee schedule. In our report or final document, we'll have all of those listed out. But we provide that for every fee category. We've also shown the change here. So that first one, accessory living unit staff review, you can see our recommendation is the $197.55. Where you're currently at now is $147. So that's about a $50 increase in that proposed fee. In most of these categories, we're seeing an increase to the fee structure. So what was presented previously.
It actually costs us more than what we're charging.
Yes, since we're updating, really the primary driver in this is the cost of personnel time. That has gone up since the previous study, and that's resulting in an increase to the fees. As Sunil indicated, we also looked at, with staff help, looked at each of the process maps and any tweaks that needed to be made, and that process map was done as well at this time. But the primary driver is costs have just gone up. So personnel costs have gone up, and so that is reflected in the fee schedule itself. Some of that will depend on, again, the personnel involved, and that could be if it's weighted towards a higher paid position, for example, that may result in a higher increase in cost, whereas some of these you don't see as big of an increase. But we've gone through every fee category. The next slide continues that. We also have some new fees, some new applications that are being introduced. So right-of-way vacation, a development agreement amendment, and a floodplain permit. So those we receive new process maps and applied the same methodology to calculate the fee for that. Here you can see on the text amendment, that is actually one fee that we're showing a decrease. So the process map produced a reduction. We're saving a little bit of time on that. But for most categories, the fee is going up because the costs have gone up and the process has stayed relatively similar to our previous analysis. These are all the specific fees that we've gone through. And then we also reviewed building permit fees. These fees also went up based on time involvement, and we've provided an updated schedule. This schedule differs in that there's more of a tiering based on valuation. So you can see here for different categories, we have the different valuation structure based on the process maps we received and discussions we had with staff. So there's more of a schedule associated with building permits based on value. Many communities across the state still utilize purely a valuation fee structure where there isn't quite the tie to an actual process. So South Jordan has been very proactive relative to this, in that you were one of the first actually to start looking at the cost of service study and fee evaluation, resulting in a change to your building permit fee schedule that tracks a little closer to that process map rather than just having a fee based on totally on valuation. Other communities that I'm working with right now are struggling with this because it takes a paradigm shift to understand that valuation doesn't necessarily correlate to the fee. It has to be governed by some sort of process or determination of time or involvement. And so a couple of neighboring communities are still wrestling with this concept. So you've been much more proactive in that on that front. So the next slide continues that. There's several categories when it comes to building permits and the different fee categories, but all of that has been updated as well. Again, the reasons for the change, the last study completed in 2022, and we've included all the updated salaries, benefits, and your budget data relative to department overhead, administrative overhead. All of those costs have gone up, and so that's reflected in the fee schedule. We also do a revenue analysis to highlight the kind of overall change that could result in this revised fee schedule. Because seeing those different fees, it really depends on how many of each fee you process each year. And so we've looked at historic building permits, a single year, prior year building permits, and planning fee categories, and applied the existing fee schedule and the proposed fee schedule to those counts to highlight the potential change in revenue. So right now, under building permit revenue, you generate 2.3. That would go to $2.7 million, or almost a 20% increase. And on the planning side, you see a little bit higher increase. You're slightly under $300,000. That would go to $360,000 for a 25% increase. The reality here is this is just an indication of taking your prior year fees and applying that fee schedule. Your actual revenue will depend from year to year on how much growth you have, how many building permits you're processing, you know, what's coming in the pipeline. And you could far exceed this revenue, the $2.7 million, because you just have a whole lot more permits being processed. Or you could have less than that because growth slows or disappears and you're not getting a lot of building permit or planning fees. But this kind of puts it into context, assuming all things are equal, you know, what would that look like? So I just didn't want you to think that 2.7 is, you know, what you're guaranteed in revenue. It will fluctuate based on demand. I think that's it. So questions on methodology or fees themselves?
Again, I really appreciate you doing a deep dive on this because we do know that there are a lot of cities that are going to require a paradigm shift to follow a process like this to be able to justify to the penny, to the minute, everyone who touches anything and why that's made up to create the permit fees that exist. So I appreciate data that proves what we know, that South Jordan's been very proactive about making sure that we have this right and that we have a good process. What I'm wondering, as one of the folks here who deals with this politically and works on this, I'd like Could I get a printed copy of that presentation?
Yes.
I'll probably keep it with me.
Yeah.
Dustin and I are going to a meeting. We're going to a meeting at the governor's mansion to meet with a whole team of folks as we talk about what the future looks like and you know, how do we have for sale product and things like that. I know fees is going to come up during that conversation. Well, if cities would do something about their fees, you know, all that's going to come up. And I would like to have the data in my hand to be able to say, well,
definitely.
This is something that more cities could do it this way. And this is how we do it. I think that's a good educational piece. So if I could get a printed copy from somebody of that presentation, I'm just going to keep it with me and refer to it as an example of both what a way cities can do it and also to stand up for what we do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get a copy to you. And
thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please go ahead.
If you wouldn't mind going back to the slide with the revenue. So help me understand. We've gone down to the like minute and the penny of cost analysis. This potential 2.7 million, that's revenue after we pay for all those minutes of personnel and we collect the fees. You're saying that's how much revenue would come to the city?
It's not an indication of profit. No. So it is an indication of, really it's another way to actually show cost, but it's saying if we...
Okay, so
yes.
It's only paying us what we spend.
I see the word revenue, that's...
Yes,
to me,
it would
revenue.
Generate that
income.
Revenue, but the intent is to show that that is essentially...
Offset your paycheck to the
yes.
So there is no gain.
No.
We're just simply justifying the cost.
Yes.
Legally, we can't.
So I feel
that
like that word revenue is misleading.
Well, that it is a revenue...
Revenue just says money come in. So legally, we can only charge fees for work done. So our fees for record requests, if we make copies,
right.
We charge 25 cents because it costs us 25 cents to
mm-hmm.
make the copy,
mm-hmm.
essentially. And so that's what revenue
is. So this
is
incoming,
that.
And then we have cost
yeah.
and it's balanced.
What this
yes.
doesn't highlight
that's
is...
That's a good question, because maybe not everybody or people
revenue,
who listen
you're like,
to this
what? You're
understand,
profit?
Wait, you're making $3 million? Why would you not want to keep having them cut? We're not making any money on this.
Yeah.
That's the cost.
That's just
yeah.
money coming in.
So,
yeah.
What we don't have is showing an equal expense. Because
so
be
you showed all the expenses. I just
yeah.
see this, and I'm like, so
yes.
where?
No, that's
okay.
That's a really good question to clarify.
Yeah.
Because you don't,
thank
the,
you.
The reality mm-hmm. is your staffing and department function doesn't ebb and flow as your growth ebbs and flows, right? I mean, there is an element of fixed expense that will be here regardless. If all building permits dried up in a year, you wouldn't let everyone go and say, okay, well, you're all furloughed for a year until we have some building permits come back. So there is some additional requirements relative to accounting of these types of revenues to keep them separate and say, okay, if we generate a little more revenue, do those need to stay and potentially offset future expense? But yeah, this is intended to show if we apply those cost assumptions, what would the offsetting revenue equal? So it's really an offsetting revenue calculation.
There's nothing arbitrary
yes,
about it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I really like these. I mean, I like that we're getting the correct fees because you know that's covering the cost. Because otherwise, we don't. If we get insufficient fees, we still have to pay for all those employees' time, and we have to do that through tax dollars, which means we have to through the general fund, which means we have to have higher tax rates to be able to cover that. And we should be spreading that among all the residents in our city. So when someone's applying for these permits, they should be paying the adequate fees that are corresponding to it. So I appreciate what you're doing here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's how cities get in trouble, is they use their general fund for everything.
Yep.
And they don't account for expenses or recouping those expenses.
Exactly.
Correctly.
Yep.
Yeah. Don had a question on the camera. Go ahead.
Sunil, are these fees included in the tentative budget?
Right now it is not, but the intent is to include it in the budget before we have a public hearing on the final
budget. Before we adopt the final budget.
Yeah.
Good question. That is a good question. Tamara, did you have a question?
I did. Now I just lost it. Hold on.
No problem.
Oh, are we being... I mean, obviously we're being proactive here, but is there any kind of state mandate that's coming
to say this is how all cities have to operate, is to justify every minute? Or are we just being ahead of the game in our...
I think we're being ahead of the game because there's been so much chatter. That's not the reason why, but now there is, which is why this is good for us, because this is how we do it. But there's been a lot of proposals tossed around to eliminate cities' ability to collect any impact fees at all. It's been proposed for the last 3 sessions in a row.
That's on the impact fee. And then on the non-impact fee, but just like a building permit fee, we have to pay the inspector to go out. Why should a taxpayer who's been here many years subsidize the inspection of that house?
Exactly what Patrick said. Everybody shouldn't carry that cost. Right. But that's been proposed the last 3 years at the legislature.
In the housing space, fees are a huge topic because you'll see bar graphs out there where they'll say fees make up 30% of a house. And it depends on how you tell that story. It doesn't actually do that. But then they'll say, so if we just took out the governmental fees, it dropped the house.
All of a sudden, housing is affordable, and we solved the crisis.
You hear stuff like that all the time. It's not that simple.
And that's a story that you hear.
Yeah. Because you did that, you
have to increase taxes.
Yeah. Very anecdotal. So this is literally to the penny and to the minute, which is why I want a copy of this. I'm just going to keep it with me. Yeah. Put it in a folder and keep it in my bag all the time.
So we're not being required through legislature to do this.
No. No, this has been our preference for a long time because we feel like this is the way to do it.
But also, we would be required to show the same things, whether we had a study or not, if our fees were challenged, mm-hmm. what sometimes happens. And so we're ahead of it. If you want to challenge it, that's fine. Request this, look at it. And if you want to doubt our numbers, doubt them. But then you're fighting our expert and stuff. And people do challenge fees.
There will always be an element of that because, again, in all fees, impact fees, development fees, business license fees, there's a law of averaging. Mm-hmm. So it does not create perfect equity for all users. It creates general equity for each class that you apply the fee to. So there's going to be a perception of winners and losers, and there should be some flexibility to address that. Like in the impact fee statute, and in your ordinance, there's language that allows development to present information that would suggest an alternative fee. And there may be an instance in this case where a builder says, hey, I feel like it's a little different here because of X, Y, and Z. And that should always be baked into the process. But this gives the structure so that you can establish a fee schedule that is applied across the board. I'll also point out, relative to your question, I am seeing... not from the legislative perspective, but from an auditing perspective, questions relative to fees. So again, some of your neighbors have hired us to do this same analysis and update their fee schedule because their auditors are saying, we need some justification for this fee assessment in order to move forward. And so it's coming from that perspective. The state auditor's office is also provided an opinion on some of this. So
we have opinions about that too. So I think that's a good thing. Yeah, that's good. Patrick had a question.
Yeah, you know, I do get concerned when I hear about the legislature potentially talking about, you know, not doing away with these. And the reason being, between the building permit revenue and the planning fees, I mean, these are the costs. It's over $3 million. If those went away, that's an unfunded mandate at that point in time, mm-hmm. which means, but we still have all those expenses that we now have to cover. And if we can't get those from people that are applying for these permits, we now have to go back and we would have to raise taxes over $3 million on our residents to cover these things.
That's
and so,
right.
I mean, because the money has to come from somewhere. And so, because those things don't go away. And we're and I know the legislature also has a high level of expectation on our turnaround and be able to deliver on all these things. So these things have to be met. So I sure hope, you know, I hope the legislature sees these things for what they are and people really understand what they're voting on when these things go before them, because this is just really the cost associated with these things, and we got to pay it one way or another.
It's something we've been working on as a league for the last number of years.
Yeah.
Water districts are facing the same thing. Sewer districts probably are too, but water districts are too. There was a bill proposed 2 years ago. Senator McKay proposed a bill just eliminating water districts' ability to charge any impact fees.
And that doesn't make sense because we're in one of the fastest growing regions of the state. We need our elected officials to hear us and see our needs and represent us.
Yeah.
So just be mindful of it. That's why this is such important information. It really is good information. There's nothing anecdotal about how we go about our process here in South Jordan, and it's something we can justify. And so this deep dive is so appreciated. Go ahead.
One of the things that I just kept thinking about is how grateful I am for
probably a lot of the people in this room who years ago decided to move forward with the priority-based budgeting. That really lays the foundation for us to be able to dive deep into these numbers. And so South Jordan really has, for a number of years, been laying the groundwork to really understand what our costs are and to be able to charge the appropriate fees. And I'm just grateful for that. A lot of times, you know, residents will say, well, why doesn't government do things more like businesses? And I look at this and I think, you know, this is one instance where we're able to. In my profession, every job that we do job costing on. We look, examine the hours, make sure we hit our profit margin. In government, we're not allowed to hit a profit margin. I understand that. But we can still know where our costs are and make sure we can break even. And we need to make sure we're breaking even and that those who are, you know, occurring those charges are paying the appropriate fee. So just grateful for this team in South Jordan that laid the groundwork really to get to these numbers. Yeah. Years ago with the priority-based budgeting.
And that's what we do for every program is this type of analysis. So when Ray sends a crew out to fix a light pole, I know exactly what it costs for the two guys in the truck to go fix that pole in the hour and a half that it took.
So responsible. Love it. Last question.
Go ahead. No, you're okay.
For this section.
It's okay.
No, the night.
I heard it's a...
We just shortened the meeting.
Okay, stop. Questions, right, Phil?
Yes.
Yeah. Back me up. So my question is, if I have a resident, because you said you're going to get a hard copy and walk around with it, right?
Well, I'm just going to keep it with me because I'll be able to refer to it.
So when residents have questions about fees, is there a place on our website? Are we going to have this be really transparent? Or is it only going to be upon request? Hey, I'm arguing this fee, we can show them. Or do we have a place where they can go in and be like, oh my heavens, look at this analysis. I think it would bode well for us to show what you just showed us, to have a little click tab that says, do you want a deeper dive on the fees? Here you go. Because you said most cities aren't doing this, so why not showcase the work we're doing?
One of the, just from our perspective, as we worked with many communities, some of that data is not private but sensitive, you know, when you talk about salaries and time. And so there has been a tendency to not... the information is public and can be found, but you know, actually publishing it on websites and having it out there is, there's been some hesitancy to do that, which is why we keep it at a higher level in these types of studies. So it's something to think about.
Do we have a policy on that? Like, how much do we share if people are arguing their fees?
Well, I mean, if they want to sit down and go through it, we'll go through it in whatever detail it takes. That's what City Attorney Luce was saying. If people challenge the fee, we sit down and go through it. I mean,
it doesn't happen a lot, but it can happen. We don't get
challenged
very often.
I don't think we get challenged ever. But there are some that have, you know, they get into court and they have to fight it. The only reservation I have about pushing it out there, it also gives a target. Some people... we have people who grammar request everything just to see what they can challenge. You don't know how many times all of our oath of offices have been grammar, and other random stuff, huh, Anna?
Oh, yeah.
And so the more you set stuff up, also the more people will try to nitpick you. This will be, it won't be transparent in that it's a click on the webpage, but this is all public.
It's
part of this meeting.
It will
be out there. It can be found if someone wants it. And if they call, we'll give it. But it wouldn't be us publishing
that makes,
it.
That makes sense.
So it's a balance.
Okay. Thank
but
you.
We,
I mean, this
we
presentation
can
will
out.
Be in the notes. If you search the website, you would find this presentation.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate you both. Thanks a lot. All right, our next discussion item F1, we have RM text amendments being presented by our long range planner, Joe Moss.
Hello. So before we get started, I just wanted to point out we placed a QR code on all of your chairs there. So I know phones are generally discouraged in meetings, but we are going to ask you to pull them out and use them during this particular presentation today. With some quick pulling. But just
very
to kind of.
Slido?
Yeah.
I'm like,
no,
it's totally
not Slido.
Who started this?
The ripoff of Slido.
But if you'll remember way back in the dark days of February, we went through some of the ways that design could really shape and influence development and how, you know, can really play a key role in how some of this RM style development can look and feel. So we talked about the possibility of creating a kind of menu of options, of design options that people might be able to include or, you know, might want to incentivize. And so tonight we really want to go through some of those potential options with you to kind of get an idea of what is most important to the council so we can help weight those accordingly in a draft. So a couple things here, you know, we are looking at pulling maybe this RM section away from the rest of our zones because it does have kind of an inherently different pattern of development. I mean, a townhome requires very different types of regulations than a single family residence. And even a small lot single family residence can sometimes need some different styles of you know, setbacks and accommodations and things from a larger lot single family development. So this is kind of the framework of what we've been putting together so far, organized into two sections primarily with your purpose and applicability, all that stuff up front. But tonight we're going to be focusing more a lot along these standards. And you know, we are trying to make it a lot more visual. So this is just a snippet of some of the stuff we're working on. Obviously, it's not finished yet, but we're trying to make it a more visual document and make it a pretty highly visual, understandable thing. Currently,
are those the current standards?
Some of them are current standards. Some of them are modified, but we are looking at splitting them up for different development types. So there would be different requirements for like a small lot single family development versus a townhome development versus that. The idea being we at least have a framework of standard to build off of. Currently, we don't have a one of the challenges we have, especially when like somebody wants to come in with a PD. We don't have a lot of design criteria or standards for anything other than single family. So while the RM zone right now, currently, we don't have any undeveloped RM zone in the city. But this would be a way, it would be a nice tool for us to have in our zoning toolbox to say, hey, if you want to come in with a PD, you know, and maybe if for some reason the RM zone is not something that they're interested in, they can at least start to work from the framework of the RM. And then we have some built-in standards that we know that we are comfortable with because we've worked on those and said these are the things that are important to us for quality development in South Jordan. And this is what we think good design looks like.
But we don't have any current undeveloped RM zones in the city.
That's correct. I mean, there's some very, very teeny little slivers, but that's not really developable.
we have undeveloped plans. Sorry, I probably should have said that. We have undeveloped plan development that has the RM under as the base zone, but we don't have any RM that has not been developed. We have obviously residential in some of our zones, like the BHMU zone currently has additional residential that can be added to that zone. But in terms of the residential multiple zone, which is usually what we use as the base for the Peon development floating zone, so recent ones being the Rise, the Jerry Salt project down the road, which we heard today they're not going to do after all of that work we did. Those are undeveloped, right? We're developing. But in terms of just somebody coming in with a new application in a residential multiple zone, we don't have any of those.
So
go ahead.
So I mean, what's the application? We'll go through a lot of work here, but we're not foreseeing any more in the future?
I mean, it would be through, no, we are foreseeing that people would come and ask for rezones for like a townhome development. We get that all the time, right? Where we're pointing them is
okay, just nothing that's in the loop now, but you could foresee something down the road as well. That's
rezones.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
That's mostly to get your comfort level.
Yeah.
But like we changed the zone, but it doesn't mean that these projects are suddenly going to sprout up everywhere that we have residential multiple zones because they're all developed at this point. So it would be a rezone request. And potentially, if we're not comfortable with the plan development for whatever reason, we can direct them back to the residential multiple as an option rather than going through the arduous plan development process.
And just
but it would still be
for
a
everyone's benefit, whether they're going to watch this later or read this or whatever, just to make sure this does not apply in Master Plan Community of Daybreak at all, and may or may not apply in other forthcoming master plan developments.
Right, the BHMU zone is a good example where there are existing residential entitlements that are sitting out there that is not zoned RM.
Right.
But there are no undeveloped RM zones out there, which then would be our primary tool if somebody wanted to rezone. But yes, we've got plenty of planned development. Shoreline's a huge one sitting out there. Obviously, Daybreak.
And these don't apply there because those are already decided. That's already decided. Yeah.
Zones.
Yep. I just want to make sure everybody understands that. Okay. That it's on the record for whoever listens to this later, reads it, or whatever. Okay. Go ahead.
Thanks. Well, and you know, we've been putting together some different elements, and really, we were trying to listen to the things that the council was saying was most important to you all last time. And so you don't have to pay too much attention to this particular slide because some things might shift around based off of what you all rank as more important than others. But basically, we have two ways of doing things. We can flat out require things, and that's the things in the left-hand column. And then we can incentivize things, and that's the things in the right-hand column there. And so what we can do is, you know, let developers pick from that menu of options. We can assign different points so they can meet a certain level of points. And that way we're getting the big ticket items generally that we feel are most important to a high quality development. So I'm gonna kind of walk you through some of the things that we've are included on this menu. One of the things I know that you all mentioned was really important were transitions. So compatibility of scale, particularly when you're transitioning from a single family area to maybe like a townhome or something, kind of what that immediate transition looks like. You can do things like limit numbers of stories. You can limit like second story or roof decks. These are some graphics from other codes. And so get a sense of, you know, we can limit that scale and how, you know, within certain areas against single family, we can have those transitions be a little softer between those development types. Another thing we can look at here is screening. So typically we would see that with like a screening wall and then kind of a shade tree that forms kind of a two-tier canopy, screening canopy rather. So it creates a little more privacy between those uses with the landscape buffer. We also have that is the end for this particular one. So I did want to get your opinion on what, out of those things we just talked about, what are the kind of most important? So if you think it doesn't need to belong in our system at all, you can put a 0. If you think it's absolutely a must-have, you can put it at a 10. If you think it goes somewhere between, that's all right. I will point out this is not a zero-sum game. Just because one thing is less important than another doesn't mean it might not be included in the code. It just means we might assign less points to it than the other. And apologies, there you go. I'll go to that next slide. Are you able to access it now?
So
we're waiting.
It's waiting for you.
It's waiting for you.
We go back. There we go.
There we go.
Sorry about that.
I'm used to being judged by now.
Can I just make a comment here?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I mean, I understand we're doing this, and this is kind of like a survey here, but, you know, I don't know what we're going to do this with this information here. And, you know, I usually, you know, like my voting to be a public vote. And this to me, it seems a little... the concept is good. The concept is good, but... I kind of like to know as we're voting on things and have discussion on things as we're making recommendations. And this is kind of starts for me. It starts dancing on closed voting.
I will say we will include the results in the public notes in the minutes that we'll give to Anna. So I'll make sure we include those.
We're just in a public meeting right now. That's the only thing that concerns me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and this is really just to help give staff an idea of the elements that the council wants to weight heavier than others. So I know we have limited time, so I didn't want to kind of dive into each one individually. So we kind of grouped them in this structure.
If I was a resident and I'm watching this right now, I'm saying I have no idea how what everyone's doing in here and how these people are voting and what the impacts of these things are going to be. That would probably bother me. So,
because it's not a discussion.
Yeah.
So this we're not turning around and then going to just present a code based on this. We still want to have a discussion. Certainly, if we need to end this because it's uncomfortable for all of you, we'll do it, and we can have detailed discussions about each of these now before we go back and draft. After our last conversation, we wanted to, rather than spend a bunch of time and then present something as if it was what you told us to do, we wanted to get your input. If this is the wrong way to do it, we can reschedule this and come at it a different direction, for sure. I don't want to keep going with this if the council is uncomfortable.
I mean, I think we had a discussion prior to doing this, and said, so everyone was kind of sharing their thoughts like this, and then it was like, okay, we're gonna try to prioritize, you know, like I know we do priority-based budgeting and we're trying to prioritize things. I get all that, but we haven't discussed any of these things, and I just feel uncomfortable without having any discussion just going in here and putting this, because I do feel the information here, I do feel it will be somewhat directional. I know it's not final, and I know we'll have the ability to evaluate it, but I do feel it's starting to be somewhat directional, and so for that reason I'm not going to submit mine.
Do you want to keep going with this, or do you want to reschedule and have a conversation?
Well, I think we're in an interesting spot here where we have conversations about these things. You know, mm-hmm. we talk back and forth, and we hope that the staff comes away with some sense of what our priorities are in those conversations. And I think to a great extent they do. But I can also appreciate their desire to try and quantify it a little bit. But, you know, maybe it would be better to have a conversation, especially if you're not comfortable participating, Patrick. I think that we should find a different way to get this information to the staff, you know.
Okay. Do you guys want to put the poll on hold?
Could I voice my thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is valuable in one way because I think there are 5 council members and a mayor, and we could have 2 that are pretty verbal. I really don't like that, but maybe 3 others that aren't as verbal that have different opinions. So I see the value in this and saying, let's find out everybody's thoughts on it. Maybe to Patrick's point, we have the discussion, and then at the end we kind of say, here's how I feel about it, and then you get some direction from 6 people instead of just the ones that speak up the most. Because I do think it's valuable to find out everybody's thoughts.
I agree. But when it comes to giving direction, we go around and ask every person their take anyway.
Yeah.
And one thing to kind of support this that you've said is that as we're coming up, I totally understand going, okay, we just need to know where how you feel about each of these, but as a body, the way we've worked is that we come up with, everybody weighs in as we talk about each of these things, and it kind of determines how we feel. We don't all start out feeling the same way on things, and then we talk about it, and we see each other's point of view. We understand things that maybe we hadn't considered. We usually come to a place where this is how we feel, and that's how we like, that's how we've done it.
In looking at this, this is sort of an abstract. But when it comes to each project, then they're so individualized, like the location, the circumstances around it, and that greatly impacts what we think the community needs in that project. You know, a property that is near the railroad or near a busy road versus something that is more interior, the needs that we would want to see added to that project will vary. And even the kind of project that it is, who is it serving? Something for seniors
we might not want the same elements as a property that's going to have young children. And so I think that in the abstract, it's kind of hard for us to say, oh, this is my priority list, when we don't know enough details. I think that that's a problem. I think each case is always going to bring in additional desires for that project.
I totally get what you're saying, but I don't know how we
build
a code around. We have to build a code that serves the whole city, not an individual project.
Well, and that's why we use the master development process so much.
It is why we use the development agreement so much, is because that gives us the opportunity to build a code for that development.
Yeah. How many times do we just go on a code for a project?
Well, we probably do pretty regularly, I suspect, but they don't wind up here.
Yeah, they don't end up here.
They're getting approved in planning commission.
It would go directly to planning commission because there's not a reason for the legislative body to weigh in.
Right. If the development is meeting the requirements of the code.
But if we're going to put something like this on hold for another meeting, I feel like it needs to be the main presentation for the night.
If we're going to dive into each one of these
and each of us give our opinion, that's basically going to be a study session just for this RM code.
It feels that way to me too. I feel like this deserves a lot more of our time and attention to make sure we get it right, and I don't know that we have time for that tonight, to give it adequately what it deserves, what it needs to be, what you need it to be, the information you need from us, the decisions you need us to make. I don't think we have adequate time to do that tonight.
We have 30,
okay.
40 minutes.
We have some folks waiting, and they're going to take quite a bit of time too. So we've still got a couple of a couple of items.
Sorry.
I hate to be like, okay, well, we're just going to reschedule this and move on because I know you need this information. At the same time, I'm not. It doesn't sound like this is, like we'd like, I don't think this is a way that we want to do it. So it sounds to me like having a an opportunity scheduled where you have more time and we can talk about this.
Perhaps we can send you some pre-meeting materials for review prior, and then we can just dedicate a whole meeting to the discussion.
It appears that's what you guys would like.
You know, each of these maybe have some examples of how they might be applied, you know.
Yeah, share the slides with us and we can get a little bit of...
Yeah, we'll go back and rework this and bring you back a different presentation.
We appreciate the work you're doing and we want to get the direction from us right. And I think it deserves a little bit more time than we actually have to give to it tonight. I want it to have more time than we have to give to it tonight. That's our reality tonight. It's what it is. And because we want to give it more time than we have tonight, which I think actually will result in best outcomes.
So we think what you have to say is important. So thank you.
So important, you're going to get a whole meeting out of
it. Whether you wanted
one or not.
We can accommodate.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to ask for a motion to recess City Council meeting and move to executive closed session for the discussion of the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property and the discussion of the character, professional competence, physical, or mental health of an individual.
So moved as stated.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed?